The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star. The views expressed on
You look a little better than you did last time.
Yes, I feel better. Thank you.
All right. Why don't we have a little history of Sustainable Saratoga, how it got started, and, you know, maybe a skirting of what you do, and we'll get into some specific topics after.
Yes, Sustainable Saratoga is a nonprofit. It's been around for about a dozen years now. I've been on the board for 6 years, so I can speak most about that time. We incorporated about 10 years ago with a board of directors and officers, and we've organized into four working committees. So the board members are all involved in one of those committees. Climate and Energy Committee was the one that first drew my attention and that I've been principally involved with. The Urban Forestry Project is well known in the community as the committee that enlists a large number of volunteers to plant trees every year. The Land Use Committee, which looks at the zoning and planning issues in the city and encourages smart development in the city, has also been in effect for all that time. And the Zero Waste, which started as a ban the bag, trying to ban plastic bags, and now has expanded to look at all kinds of waste issues, such as recycling and composting.
You know, one of the things that I have been doing the past couple of years, and I saw it on TV, the plastic rings that soda, six packs of soda come in. I know that's a real bad thing for the environment, especially since so much of our recyclables like that go out to sea. I cut them up, cut the rings right down the middle so that, you know, they're not a potential hazard if they do get pushed out. I guess there's kind of like an island of plastic out in the ocean. And that's, you know, honestly don't think people are that aware of how bad things are getting as far as recycling. And it's just a little bit of things that we can do as individuals that, you know, we don't have to go out and beat the drums or protest with big signs. We just do a few little things, and everybody does it. It would help immensely, correct?
Yeah, it definitely would. In fact, today I'm drinking from my metal bottle versus a plastic water bottle. And there are so many things that we can do individually using glass, etc. We're working with Saratoga Unite to try to eliminate styrofoam takeaway containers within the within the city itself, and many of the restaurants have voluntarily converted over to compostable products, and that's great. But yes, individuals can use glass, can use reuse things instead of going to the plastic as much as possible. So yeah, that would be great if people could start doing those little things like clipping those strands that held six packs together, or even not using plastic as much as they can. Just being conscious of it would be very helpful.
Well, you know, in growing up, when I was a kid, we had all glass. I remember going to the Coke vending machines, and you could get your grape soda, orange soda, Coca-Cola, whatever, and they came out in glass bottles. Personally, I thought the soda always tasted better, but I don't know if it's economics that we went to plastic, or if it's just disposable society that we are today.
Yeah, economics and convenience. It takes a little effort to reuse something, to save it and get it back to the store, or to recycle anything, rather than just throw it in the trash. And so that's one of the things that we really encourage, is that people make that effort. Single stream recycling is established so that people don't have to sort and put their plastics in one bin and paper in another. They can just throw it all in the same bin.
Sure.
And then it gets sorted down in the facility in Albany. This is a good time to say something about our Recycles Day. We've had three annual Recycle Days that Sustainable Saratoga put on. This last one was at the State Park in the overflow parking lot right off of Route 50.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the big things that we take, that other homeowners don't have a place to get rid of stuff, is the textiles. So if you've got clothing that's wearable, then there are places to donate it. But if you've got old sheets, towels, pillowcases, blankets, or just clothing that's just too shredded to be reused, typically, it just goes in the landfill at the tune of about 70 pounds per person per year.
Oh, wow.
And so what we do is we find a company that will take that and shred it and use it for dog beds and other kind of things, and then it keeps it out of the landfill.
Sure. Well, you know, my grandfather came over from Italy, and they settled in Amsterdam. He was a tailor, and he used to buy rags for the tailor shop. They had a rag salesman in Amsterdam who just happened to be Kirk Douglas's father.
Wow.
And but they recycled rags because that was a business that he had, and he would go around to all the shops or tailor shops, factories, and sell rags. And so I think that way, I mean, they were doing a little bit of recycling back then.
Sure. Reusing.
Yes, yeah, reusing.
That's great.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A lot more.
Yeah, and it's too bad we didn't have something like that today. I mean, I know it's good to use them for bedding, dog bedding, and other things like that, but I don't know if people even stop to think about that, you know. Now I know you do. I know there's a recycling for, like, paint cans and and hazardous waste. Is it once a year in the fall?
Yeah, the city sponsors pretty much that. It's a hazardous waste recycling pickup, and they did one again this fall, and they take paint, old paint cans, kerosene, gasoline, those kinds of things, and properly dispose of them. So we really encourage that and tell people about that hazardous waste day, and they sign up in advance and bring their products in and then dispose of them that way. That's great to get rid of those products, for sure.
Yep. Now, Sustainable Saratoga, as it relates to Saratoga Springs, the impact that you've had over the last, I think you said you had started in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
What have you seen that has been your impact over the years? Have you seen some real good progress in you know, I don't want to get into the individual programs now because we'll hit each one of those, but your overall view of Sustainable Saratoga, have you had enough help with the community and with the city and businesses, do you feel?
I'd say because we are an advocacy, actually we have three main themes: education, advocacy, and action. And we're working towards issues that can make the city more sustainable and you might say green.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our big issues has been how to get the word out there, how to encourage more people to do the things that we believe are helpful for the city. And I'd say in the last 10 years that we have done a much better job of getting the word out through education. Our website is much more accessible.
Mm-hmm.
and
easy to navigate.
And expansive. Good. And current.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give a lot of credit to our new executive director. We have a half-time person.
Wendy Mahaney.
We didn't have until 3 years ago, is it now?
Right, right.
We were just all volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
Through the work of our executive director, she's done a lot to help us expand our visibility and our getting our message out to more people.
Sure. And I know you're on social media,
and
too.
And I would just add that I think, and I've been around Sustainable for 6 years, but what I've seen is consciousness raising on the part of not only the volunteers and Sustainable supporters, the board, et cetera, just in general, people are thinking more about the environment and are thinking more about ways, like you said, clipping those six-pack plastic things and other, and beginning to, and I think Sustainable Saratoga has led that charge, as well as looking at some of the advocacy areas with land use, et cetera, that we need to, and working with the city on that. I think our relationship with the city has been strong, but at times, has been oppositional, but that's okay because that brings on good discussion and hopefully improved policy making with all parties involved.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, I moved here in 1986. I married a Saratoga girl, so I kind of was here basically in the middle of the Renaissance, coming back of Saratoga. But I can see your handprint on a lot of things since you started, and I know that's made me more aware of things. Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you. I think it's what you've been doing is working as far as advocacy, and there's programs that you do that are fantastic, and we're going to help promote them when they come up because make people more aware of things like the Repair Cafe that we'll get into, but tree planting and so many others that if they just go to the website to see what's coming up and going on, that's you'll have a better following also. And social media helps too today.
I know we're limited in time, Rick, but I just...
No, we have an hour, so go right ahead.
The Recycles Day helps a lot of local groups. The Lions Club this year collected 300 pairs of glasses and 10 hearing aids, for example. And the Backstretch workers picked up 700, volunteers picked up 700 items, including sheets and blankets, etc. And the Prospect Center receives truckloads of donated clothing and shoes, etc. as well. So we really, really like to work with local groups and help them collect these items and reuse them rather than have them go to the landfill. That's our major objective, is to keep all of these articles out of the landfill and reusing them.
Reusing them. Yep. Now, I know Franklin Community Center has a huge clothing turnover.
Let me jump in and just say a couple of the other organizations that really benefited was Shelters of Saratoga,
mm-hmm.
which is another good local organization.
Sure.
That serves the community. and they picked up 55 sleeping bags and 48 backpacks.
Wow.
For their
clients. Yeah, it's, you know, there's so many people in need that recycling clothes or furniture, we wouldn't have a problem in Saratoga.
Right.
Now, I know Skidmore, at the end of the school year, any of the graduating students will put out, like, the furniture they don't want to take or whatever out here. And usually the backstretch comes over and takes what they can use. And I mean, even get people, residents that will come over to see what's here, which is good because they really don't have much left over by the time school ends. So I think recycling and reusing, like you said, is probably the most important thing that anyone can do for the environment. One of the things, too, I think has gotten bigger, and you had mentioned about plastic bags, are the reusable carry bags for groceries. And I think they're getting more and more popular. I see more and more people using those. And I hate to see, though, when they bag their things in plastic and then put the bag in those reusable bags, like you're defeating the purpose here.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, but...
Well, as you know, in March this year, the single-use plastic bags are going to be outlawed in New York State, done away with, and so more and more people will be using those reusable canvas bags, which, you know, we have in our cars and we can bring into the grocery store, and it's just great for the environment because you talked about the plastic before and in the ocean, and there are miles and miles, as you know, of plastic bags, etc., that are just contaminating the earth. So we're really, really happy about that law change and look forward to the benefits for the environment.
Mm-hmm. We've become such a I don't know what the word is, as a world society, just throwing things away, that it's almost unbelievable. I saw that on TV, and I don't think many people even know what's out there in the ocean, but it is really sad.
I'll tell you,
it really is sad. All right, let's talk a little bit about urban forestry. That's probably getting to be a bigger area now that more trees are being cut down for development. So our urban forestry is getting a little bigger. It was a few years ago, right, that you had decided you wanted to plant X amount of trees in X period of time. How's that working out?
Yeah, I think it's going pretty well. Tom Denny leads that urban forestry group, and he and his staff, volunteers, have been great at planting things. We planted about a total of 255 trees so far since we started a few years back. And this year, with the 50th year of Arbor Day, and we're trying to plant 1,000 trees in 1 year, and that relates to, it could be trees in your backyard, your front yard, that you yourself plant, not our group of volunteers. That's way too many for us to handle.
Right.
But try to get 1,000 new trees in Saratoga as a goal this year. So we're working with the volunteers and trying to get the word out locally among individuals to plant trees to help benefit the air and the environment and everything else. So,
well, you would like the volunteers to plant 1,000 trees if you could get 1,000 volunteers. I think that would
yes.
be great.
Yeah.
But the city also has a tree planting program that doesn't cost the homeowner anything, correct?
Right.
They will.
Yeah, the city's budget actually has been, in part because of the advocacy of Tom and his group and working with city officials, have been able to double their tree planting budget this year over what they've had in the past. And yes, the city will replace trees and plant new trees at the homeowner's request, or where there are trees that need replacing, they'll do that as well. So yeah, things have really improved within the city over the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, and a lot of times that's on the terraces or
yes.
right off the
between the sidewalk
and the curb. And I know that's how, we don't have sidewalks in my development. It's you know, one, not one of the newer developments, but the previous owner had a tree planted, and now it's a very large maple tree. I curse in the fall because my next-door neighbor has one, too, that's about the same height, and we get a lot of leaves. But in the summer, and this is what the object of having trees in your yard, not only does it improve the air quality, but it gives you shade in the summer, and yes. It's a windbreaker in the wintertime.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a benefit to the homeowner to have trees, and it's a benefit to the environment.
Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah, and those leaves, Rick, are really great to have. In fact, just yesterday with the milder temperatures, I was out in our compost pile turning it, and I had a pile of leaves right next door. I never take any leaves to the curb anymore. And we have tons of trees on our property. I always stack them and then use them for the composting as a brown throughout the winter, spring, summer, and fall. And it's a great source of compost material, help those food waste products break down.
Mm-hmm.
So keep those leaves. Don't put them out.
Keep those leaves. That's right. Well, I think this doesn't the city use the leaves as compost also? I know they have big compost piles that, and then homeowners can get the compost in the spring for their flower beds or whatever.
Yeah, actually it's mulch.
So mulch.
It's not nutritious compost.
Okay.
It's leaves and lawn clippings that break down. They have huge piles over in Wyville Ave.
Sure. But here again, it's being
mulch. It is being used.
Here again, it's being used.
And it does have benefits. Not quite the same quality as compost, for sure. But
yeah.
we have been talking to city officials about developing a compost pile, and I think we're not too far away from having that in place, and that would be wonderful because then that would be a much enriched product that they could sell back to homeowners and use as a way of enriching the soil.
Sure.
Rather than putting it in the landfill again.
Well, not only homeowners, but the people that don't have the gardens out on West Ave there at the
Pitney
Farms. I mean, you could have that out there, big piles out there that they could use to.
Actually, we partnered with Pitney this year for a pilot project of composting.
Yeah.
And had an area where homeowners could bring their buckets of compost or buckets of kitchen waste.
Sure.
And then Pitney, when up until the snow prevented driving onto the property.
Sure.
They were accepting it and making a compost pile, and with the hope of expanding it to make it more accessible.
Self-sustaining maybe for the people that use it. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
See, I have ideas, but you guys already pick up on them and run with them. So
one more thing about food waste, if I may. The one of the hardest things for landfills to break down, takes a long time and reduces a ton of methane, which is not good for the environment, is the food waste that people put in their general garbage, and then it's carted off to the landfill. So a big effort is underway to try to have people do more composting, or even to identify companies or possibly city officials that would be willing to compost the food waste and keep them out of the landfill. It just would be so much better for the environment, for the landfills, and in general be a better use for putting nutrients back into our soil.
Well, that's a good plan. If every commissioner started a compost pile in the backyard for the city,
we could have some
really good compost, right?
We've trained about 250 people to have backyard composting over the last 3 years.
That's great.
And they're doing so.
Now, do you work with Cooperative Extension at all in having them utilize some of your programs or teaching courses?
Yeah, for sure. Cooperative Extension has been involved in giving us a lot of ideas and direction and help. We feel like we basically follow a lot of the educational opportunities that Cornell Cooperative Extension provides for us too. And people are really, we're on the same page with them.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah, because they're very, I think they may have been the earliest leaders of recycle, composting, and things like that.
Definitely.
So they're a great organization. One of the great programs that you have is the Repair Cafe. And I know you love talking about it, so let's talk about that, because it's a wonderful program, and you do it once a year?
No, actually, it's several times a year.
Okay.
It's in cooperation with the library, which is an essential partner. They give us a great space in their main activity room, and personnel, you know, cooperation from the people. And then once again, we use volunteers who we call coaches. Mm-hmm. And the coaches come in and set up with all their tools, and then homeowners are welcome to bring in items that need repair.
Okay.
And so the vast majority, I'd say, are electronic or electric. A lot of people who haven't replaced a switch or the cord, the plug on a light, and it doesn't work. Rather than just throw it out, we encourage to bring it in. And not only will the coach fix it, but they'll do it and teach you how to do it at the same time, so that the next time, if it's something simple and you can diagnose it, then
you can do it. So
do
it's a little repair and training exercise.
Exactly. So that's why we call them coaches.
Okay.
And so we've had, like I said, a lot of electronic and electric repairs. But then we have somebody who'll do wood repair. Mm-hmm. So people bring in items that are, you know, like a chair or a little table or a little knickknack that broke that has value, you know, sentimental value.
Sure.
We have some women who come in. There's a kind of a sexist comment, but it turns out it is always women who do sewing repair.
That's not sexist. It's that's one of the things that we're thankful that they can do, because if not, we'd walk around with holes in our shirts and stuff.
For sure.
We have a woman who does jewelry repair. So people bring in a favorite necklace or something, and the clasp is broken, and so simple repairs on jewelry.
Like Recycling Day, this is all intended to keep things from going into the landfill. And there's an important word here, that this is a free service that Sustainable Saratoga and this Saratoga Springs Public Library provides to citizens. And we usually get about, I'd say, 70 or 80 different people each Saturday. The next Saturday is going to be March 21st, 2020, right at the library. It usually runs from like 11 to 3, noon to 3. And people can bring in any items at all. And these are very skilled volunteer craftspeople who trained people who love to do this. There was this one woman, the first time we did this, that had this old 70-year-old toaster that hadn't worked in 10 years. And it was something that was given to her early in her life. And it took 2.5 hours, but the individual soldered little pieces here and there, and they cleaned the thing together. And ultimately, she walked out with a toaster that was working, and she was as happy as can be, and so were we.
Well, you know, I was going to say that a lot of times people have sentimental items that break or, you know, aren't firm, like a chair that maybe their grandmother had that's wobbly now, and you know they don't want to throw it away.
Right.
And that's a great program. Not only, like you say, if you have an electric thing that you need repaired, but if furniture and you said knickknacks and
right.
It's great. Now, how old is that program?
Probably the second year we've been running.
Yeah, I think two or three.
Two or three years? Right. Okay. Because I remember back when we had Sustainable Saratoga on maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and I think that was the infancy of the Repair Cafe.
Right.
And I know it's been built up as everything that you have started has. So that's another tool that a person can use to save some items, especially some sentimental items. And I have one very close to my heart, and I think I'll bring my wife down and you can oil her, you know.
Bring her in March.
Yeah, I'll bring her down in March.
And, you know, Rick, and let me just dovetail on that, because I think one of the things that's really important to remember is that the reason for all these programs isn't just to fix, you know, 60 or 70 or 80 items.
Right.
But it's to encourage people to think in terms of saving things, fixing them, keeping them out of the landfill.
Sure. And not having them at disposable item.
Throw them away and buy another one.
Yeah. And usually the ones that you do buy aren't as good as the ones that can be fixed.
Very good point.
I mean, you know, things aren't made like they used to be.
So
that's great. Now, one of the things that we spoke about a little bit before the show started, and I went off on a tangent, as I normally do, but I don't want to go off, and I don't. Certainly don't want to make it a political issue, even though our city politics are involved with you in programs like this. But I'm concerned, as I said, about our downtown parking. It seems no matter how many parking garages we build, it just creates more of a parking problem. And I know you've been working with the city and with people on this. Give us a little bit of ideas that you've been working on, because they did sound really good that I never thought of before.
Well, Sustainable Saratoga likes the concept of called managed parking. And what we mean by that is that, you know, there are so many parking spaces, whether they be garages or on Broadway or other side streets. And if we could figure out a way to manage that parking better, we think we could move people through the parking more successfully. And an example would be, in fact, the new parking garage that the City Center is being developed, will have a electronic sort of device that will tell people whether there are spaces within the parking garage or spaces, or the parking garage is full and they should look elsewhere. And one of the things we have been asking the city to do is to do a very similar thing with other parking areas, so people aren't just simply going in and coming back out again frustrated that there's no parking available. And I think, Rick, you mentioned another concept which we have been strong proponents for, along with Todd Simkus, who is a big proponent of putting lines on the road so that people parking space lines so that people can park in a certain space and not necessarily be taking 1.5 parking spaces up when they park their vehicles. And, you know, Todd did a study along with Peter Martin last spring and summer and found out we could add something, a certain number of parking spots, if we would just line the streets a bit more than we do. So that's something that I think is being looked at carefully to try to manage that parking.
And I, you know, here again, I was talking to you about paid parking, and I think managed parking is a better way to go, because when you say paid parking, everybody's hackles go up, and right away, you know, you have disagreements. So managed parking is good, and I think the signs in the parking garages are great, man. I had told you yesterday. You know, and it being right after Christmas, we have more people in town visiting family and that. But I went downtown, a friend and I have coffee every Friday after work, you know, but I had the day off. And man, oh man, it was so busy downtown. And it was a good, but I do have to say, we lost parking spaces because of the building of the parking garage. So that's a temporary problem, but you know, it's busy. I mean, we're fortunate to have a busy downtown, but one of the problems is parking. I know I'm on the board of a credit union downtown, and one of the things that really saved a lot of downtown financial institutions is banking online, so that people don't have to go down and drive around to look for a parking spot, especially in the summer, the high traffic times of the year. So that, you know, for us, that's a problem because you get older people, they don't want to park at a far end parking garage and then have to walk down, even though it's good for them. And one of the things I think also, and I don't know if you agree or not, but it doesn't hurt to walk.
Exactly. Walking is good. Biking is good. The biking lanes on Lake Avenue have been a real plus. Whenever I come in and out of town, I'm always seeing people using those biking lanes. And other, you know, alternative forms of getting downtown, such as walking, biking, shuttles. You know, in the summer we use trolleys. I think that there is parking outside of the city where people could shuttle in if things got really jammed, and that would be so much better for the environment. And just in general getting around down there. So we're proponents of trying to develop those, hopefully all electric shuttles, because then it would be less pollution.
Right.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, you know, Bill, I know you have something to add on this, but one of the things that has been built up over the years in Saratoga is the CDTA buses. And, I mean, you can take a bus out to the mall or out to Walmart's, do your shopping, and they have a continuous run. I mean, an hour later, they're there to pick back up. So, like you said, there's alternate forms of getting around, and I think people just have to stop being lazy, basically, and think of ways to do things that are more convenient. And it would save a lot of congestion in our downtown area to boot, you know. And
definitely.
Because they run all over, from Balsam Spa to Saratoga to the mall and even up north. So it's just trying to focus ourselves into doing things a little different now and do them the way our parents or our grandparents used to do it. So
I agree. I've used the buses a little bit, and they're very efficient, and they are on a regular schedule. And as I've used it recently, there are more and more people using them, so it's catching on. And CDTA buses are part of the future, I think, because it'll bring large numbers of people into the city to shop and go to restaurants, and then back out of the city. And many employees now who live outside the city, things are pretty expensive here, are using, you know, buses to get back and forth from work as well.
Sure.
So that's a good idea.
Sure. We have I have always been under the thought in the last 10 or 20 years as we develop more into a tourist city, that we have, which is a large service industry, we have a lot of service industry workers who don't make a lot of money, that maybe can't afford a car, and they're the backbone of our businesses, basically. I mean, they're in the background, but they're the ones that do all the hard work. And waitresses and waiters do hard work too, but the service industry is getting larger and larger. And like you said, it's not cheap to live in Saratoga. Yeah. So, and it's getting not cheap to live on the outskirts of Saratoga either. But you know, you can bus in from even Albany or Clifton Park or you know, the little villages from down there. So it's something that everybody should take a look at, and they print schedules out that are pretty good. I wanted to talk to you or have you talk to us about the Flat Rock Center concerns down. I know the garage is being down there, and there's been improvements in the original plan. How do you feel about the design of the garage? Do you think it fits in with the city's design standards? I know Commissioner Frank had proposed early on that there be a ground floor of business, because that area is starting to get business with the hotel and the restaurants down there. And, you know, I think we have to develop off Broadway too, and get people off of Broadway. It was always said, you know, if you were off Broadway, you missed out on a lot of traffic. But I think they're tying things in now to get people down shopping in that area. So do you think that garage fits the basic design, or has it changed to fit that over the years when they were talking about it?
I think the architects have done a good job with trying to incorporate the garage designs into the existing buildings that surround it, and in using the level changes, the bank, the little climbing, as a way of incorporating that that into the structure and the bridge over, etc. You know, Sustainable understands that the Civic Center is the community center is the one of the lifebloods of Sustainable or of Saratoga Springs, and it's important that conference attendees and conference vendors have parking available to them. Mm-hmm. One of the things they did design-wise was that if we down the road don't need to have a parking garage there, they have built, they plan on building it in such a way that it can be easily converted to other spaces such as, you know, living spaces, etc. And I think that, I don't know why exactly, but the idea of having spaces for commercial spaces on the lower level, as many of our buildings do, is not something that came through in the final plans.
Right.
They did set aside some space for the farmers market, mm-hmm. to use, and I think that's a plus. And we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it's utilized. I assume that if it can be converted to living space down the way, it could be also converted to commercial space, you know, as the need arises.
Yeah, and I certainly wouldn't like to see an overdevelopment of commercial space, because we're starting to get some empty buildings on Broadway, and we certainly don't want to perpetuate that with off-Broadway commercial spots, which may be a little less expensive to rent. I mean, you don't want to dilute your downtown either, so I know there's a fine balance, but and using it for different uses down the road, if it doesn't isn't what they think it is a great idea. I mean, you don't want to be pigeonholed into something and not have it work out and then be stuck with a monstrosity that can't be used for anything.
Right, exactly.
So that's good. And, you know, we have one of the better farmers markets in the area, so I'm glad they have kept space for that, because we certainly wouldn't want that ruined, you know. I mean, that's a lifeblood too, because it draws people downtown after shopping, you know.
Exactly.
So we have a caller, so we'll take the call. Good morning.
Hey, Rick. This is Greg. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Greg. How are you? Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you too and your guests. I just tuned in about 15 minutes ago, but I don't know if you've talked about this, but I did want to mention, you know, to tail along with your conversation, and I greatly appreciate the educational value in all this too, is that I noticed, I don't know, and this is sort of political, but it's sort of educational as well. There was a group, a Climatet group from the high school, Saratoga students for Climatet. I don't know if you spoke about that, but they did an educational gathering, and I was looking at that, some of the information, but what sort of struck me, and I'm at an age group which is remembers the first Earth Day 50 years ago, which will be the anniversary next year, and it seems to me a coalition is building, you know, among people, let's say, of the age group that I'm in, which would be more the elders, younger people, such as the high school people, and the people in between. So I see it as a very positive type social environment now, sort of a repeat of back in the 70s. And I just was curious about your comments and observations from your group there.
Well, we'll certainly talk about that. And I'll tell you, Greg, you don't sound over 30, so, you know, I don't know about 51 years ago.
Hey, one other, thanks, Rick. You too, you sound great. One other comment, you were talking about housing for the workers. This was another win. Well, several wins. I live out in the town of Saratoga, which is, you know, a rural area. But the town of Victory had an old mill there, which had been operating until about 10 years ago, but operating for about 100 years, actually, and provided employment for local people. And that went closed, and they just announced that they're going to turn that into housing, and a large part of it's going to be dedicated to workforce housing.
That's excellent.
Yeah, so that was another sustainable win. And then also out here, I see my neighbors, you know, some of them are large landowners, farmers, and people who have been here for multi-generations, and I see them more and more putting land in conservation easements through plan and so forth. So all this work combined together, Sustainable Saratoga, and all the wonderful groups we have here are really sort of coalescing, in my opinion, and I see a real broad support from multi-generation. So that's just my pat on the back to everybody, and I'll shut up.
Oh, no, don't never do that, Greg. And thanks for calling and listening, and we'll talk about some of those.
Okay, thanks, Greg.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye now.
Yeah, Greg, thank you for that comment. I think the activity by the high school students was really significant. There, at least 100 students came out and marched from the high school down to Congress Park and had a whole series of speakers that they'd organized. They got a permit. I mean, everything was done very thoroughly and very, very well done, very thoughtfully. And a number of speakers got up and just again and again reiterated how important it is for us to take action now to save our environment and reduce climate. The climate catastrophe is like, as we like to unfortunately call it, because this is not just a change that's happening. This is a real crisis, and the young people are beginning to see that. That is important around the world and right here in Saratoga as well, that they need to do something and they want to do something. And that's something we're going to, as an organization, Sustainable Saratoga is going to be working with the high school students to try to expand on that education piece, with the hopes that any messages that students develop will then be going home and hopefully expanding in the community for people to feel. I think a really, really, really important thing that we as the senior population feel when we see young people stepping up is it reinvigorates the hope that something can be done, and we want to keep expanding that view that there is hope, that we can do things, everybody can do something.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's little things like we've been talking about, changing the light bulbs, compost, recycle.
Sure.
It all makes a difference because then it tells other people that this is an important issue and we all have to do something about it.
I would just like to quickly add that the group that put all that together were freshmen and sophomores, primarily from Saratoga Springs High School. And many of the students were young, 14, 15-year-olds, so it's really, they're really starting to notice and pay attention, and I think everyone is, trying to support them and work with them in any way that we possibly can. In fact, one of those students has joined our Zero Waste Committee and was responsible for doing composting at one of the local restaurants where he had a connection at, and did some composting there in the fall as a pilot, and hopefully they'll do more throughout the year as composting season continues. So, it's great to see these activists and interested people in doing more and more, and that's part of that coalition you talked about, Greg. We appreciate that comment. We're all trying to work together.
Now, I want to get into housing, but I want to make a comment. I probably shouldn't, but because Art almost slapped me up last time when he was here a couple weeks ago, when the station was off the air and we talked a little bit. I am not a believer in climate change. I think that it's a historical thing. Although I do believe that. We all need to do our part in stopping the waste and the pollution that we put in. And I believe that if every person did one thing, it would be better than trying to accomplish 105 things. Everybody should do one thing to stop pollution. And if we all did that, we'd be so much better off, I think, as a country to help the world, because we can get lost, I think, in trying to do too much, and sometimes you don't do anything. Now, that's my opinion, but, I have a lot of opinions that are crazy, so I'll leave it at that.
I would like to jump right in.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, let's do that.
At least 97% of climate scientists, actually, I think it's more than that. It's 90% of scientists. It's even a higher percentage of climate scientists, people who really focus on science, are absolutely convinced that the warming environment and the consequences of that are a result of carbon.
Okay. Carbon I'm not arguing by any means. But do you know when the warmest winter was? What year the warmest winter was? And the hottest Christmas day was? In 1882, it was 82 degrees on Christmas Day.
But if you look at a trend over the course of 50 years,
yeah,
individual years will be up and down.
I don't want to get into this too much because I could tell you that over 50 years, half of the major hurricanes have been cut in half. And that's a scientific fact. But that's time for another thing. I want to talk about another thing. Yeah. I want to talk about another issue that Greg brought up as far as workforce housing. It used to be that they'd build these row houses for workforce housing, which you can't do today because of the cost of housing, and developers wouldn't want to build inexpensive homes and not get their return back. So he made a comment about a factory being turned into workforce housing. And, you know, there's quite a few of these old factories or old businesses, big businesses that have gone out. And we have one, I think, down in Rock City on 29, don't we? There was a big, or maybe that's still in use. But that's a great idea, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And I think we do need to address, and we always seem to do it, that we need, I don't know what the term is, low-income housing or affordable housing. What's your outlook and view on that, affordable housing?
Yeah, we definitely believe in affordable housing. There was an effort by Sustainable Saratoga that is still ongoing, but it's been sort of muted at the present time, to do something called using an IZ ordinance, which basically would be a change in the regulations that would encourage, and we have so much development going on, but encourage that some of the space, apartments, condos, we set aside for people more of the middle income range, our teachers, our nurses, our young professionals, to live in Saratoga using some of the spaces that would be built for them and at a lower cost, and probably some of the quality at a slightly lower quality, so that the contractors could afford to build them for us, or would. So we really strongly had pushed this ordinance change in the past and still believe it's the way to go. And one of the reasons it's the way to go is that it provides that opportunity for people, but also it scatters people around the city itself proper, rather than in one setting, one place, as a lot of our low-income housing does for people where they live. Well, that's the place where the low-income people live. It scatters middle-income people around the city, and we think that's good for the city. It's good for our integration of different incomes, and not just have elite places in the city where people who have a lot of money can live and afford to live there.
You know, I agree, because one of the things I find is that my two daughters were born in Saratoga, and in all honesty, they can't afford to live here.
Right.
They live in the outskirts, but they would like to live in the city. And I think we're doing a disservice to our young people, because we want to keep them in Saratoga and in the workforce in the immediate area. And we're kind of, I guess it's a, I don't know. I don't know if it really is a good thing, but we're kind of displacing our young people to leave Saratoga. And I know I was on the Senior Center board, and I got off in 2010 after 9 years, and I was just a young guy then. But Saratoga County and Saratoga Springs were becoming one of the largest populations of seniors. So, and all it stands to reason when you look at it, we have a lot of retirees moving into Saratoga, and a lot of the younger people can't afford to live here. So, you know, you're going to have a larger senior population, and we have to be cognizant of that, I think, because, you know, you want younger people to come in and stay. So I think, you know, your focus on that is good, and that you keep a presence in discussions when this happens. Because you really are an organization of keeping things in perspective as far as the environment, workforce housing, affordable housing, recycling. And if it wasn't for Sustainable Saratoga, a lot of this wouldn't even be happening, because people wouldn't even think about it. So, you know.
Thank you, Rick. We appreciate that for sure.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, we have, we have 4 minutes. Now, I'm going to let you two talk about what you want to, if we didn't bring up a topic or whatever.
Well, thank you, Rick. We appreciate that. And I'd like to spend a couple of minutes talking about our fundraising drive that's presently going on now. I know everyone has a fundraising drive, but Sustainable Saratoga is, again, unique in the sense that we don't collect, seek out any corporate sponsorships whatsoever. All of the support, financial support for the Wendy Mahaneys and the Candace Bergmans, a couple of part-time staff that we have, come from the community at large. The $50 here, the $100 there, that add up. And last year we had 170 different donors, which is great. And we're in the midst of sort of finalizing our year-end push, and if you would like to donate to us, we'd love to have you do so we can continue our work and our efforts and the services that we provide as well, such as Recycle Cafe, etc. Just, you can go online at sustainablesaratoga.org/contribute, and you'll see a button that you can push and make a donation, and we'd really, really appreciate it, because we want to continue our efforts. We need to continue our efforts for the future. And we're hoping you'll take a look at that for us and send some money our way.
The other piece I'd add to that is that if anybody's interested in becoming a part of our organization and working with us, you can just send an email to info@sustainablesaratoga.org. That's also accessible on the link on the website. And, you know, Wendy will contact you about what, you know, how you'd like to get involved with us.
And I will say again that their website is phenomenal. I always think a website is really good when it's easy to navigate. And the website is sustainablesaratoga.org. And that's sustainablesaratoga.org. And please go there. And I'd like to invite you two to Kiwanis meeting. It's a luncheon meeting, and we always like to make a donation to our guest speaker, and you get a free lunch out of it, too. So I will hook our secretary up with you, and we can make a date sometime in the future.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Well, that's not a problem. And there are some businesses, too, that would probably, from the club. I think you do such important work that I think people need not only to help support you, but also get the word around about you. And, you know, I'll certainly do that. And I'd like to have you back on maybe in the spring when we have some other things going on. And we can pass the word around by doing that.
Great.
Okay.
Appreciate that. We'd be glad to come back for sure.
I hope you will. So, Art and Bill, I want to thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us, Rick.
Well, anytime, believe me. And everybody, next Saturday, we have Kim Weyer, who's the financial fundraiser for the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. And we'll hear again about what a great organization that is. So everybody have a great week. Happy New Year. Be safe New Year's Eve if you go out. House parties are always better, but just have a great time, and we'll be back in 2020. Take care.